Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We do have the trade deadline to get to is coming up at 4. We will be 24 hours away from the trade deadline in the NFL. Daryl Ryder's going to join us later in the show. This is flu game. He's not feeling well.
Daryl's flu game?
Daryl's flu game. And by flu game, I mean he's got the snivels and he's going to join us from home. But that is just like Michael Jordan eating bad pizza or...
He blamed the pizza.
Yeah. Whatever. The point is, it's the same damn thing.
Yeah.
Even better, some are saying. Maybe.
Do we need to hear Daryl do like a... And that's what I think about the Browns? Or do we just want him just really game it through?
I think he's got to go for like a... Like one of those where you're like, oh, dude, please don't do that in the microphone.
He's going to have a moment where we all think he just died on the air because he doesn't say anything because he's trying to catch himself because he doesn't have a cough button in his house.
I think he's got to.
Install a cough button, get this thing going.
If I ever get to do this, I'll be doing that.
By the way, Daryl did text me today. He said congrats on the show and then also said happy to know that somebody got the job that will take care of my buddy Nick Wilson. And I said to him, well, now it falls on you to make sure that we give Nick hell.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, that went from thank you to bleep you in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, it was very nice of Daryl, and then I completely just crapped all over it.
That's all
get
right.
That ass.
I think that's part of the show.
Daryl.
I think we go from thank you to bleep you in like 0 to 60, something like that.
Well, I thought it was going to be like nice working with you for 9 years, that whole type of thing. It's like, no, just please. I'm happy somebody that is there that can take care of my friend Nick Wilson, my dear friend Nick Wilson.
I just also like that I'm like a toddler that needs to be attended
to. That's kind of what it is. Like, I don't even know this or not, but that's how everyone at the station looks at you, by the way.
That's all right.
This is adult daycare is what this is.
Hey, listen.
I'm in charge of making sure you don't go off the rails. People know that you have a chance to go off the rails at any point, and I'm just going to calm you back down.
I will say that you chose the wrong guy.
You're very good at it, though, and that's why you get to stay around. But, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for unfiring me. Yeah. I didn't realize what a joy this was.
Yeah, that's what that
man.
Is.
It's great. Well, thank
that's
you
great,
for...
It's a great compliment, by the way. It's a great compliment.
Thank you for allowing me to stay on my own show.
Thank
our
you.
Show.
Our show.
Our
gotta
show.
That. Gotta get that right.
So here's the thing. I don't put everything for the offense yesterday on Jameis. I don't. I don't think. To me, this was another iteration of half the losses we saw. Like, yeah, he was bad. They did a good job of covering his first read. He clearly felt the pressure very early on. He got the crap kicked out of him. I don't think the O-line played well. They certainly didn't run the ball well. I mean, the Chargers basically said, we're going to stop the run game, and then we'll see. And basically, unless you get that going, we're just going to kind of live and die with James.
And that's what the two-high safety does, right? It dares the run game to do something, and Nick Chubb wasn't able to do anything. Like, I'm worried about Nick Chubb. I went into the pregame worried about Nick Chubb. I'm worried about Nick Chubb.
Yeah, well, we'll get to the Chubb fest here in a minute. But I just
See, this is why they had me babysitting.
I think with the Jameis thing, he was bad yesterday. I think everybody was bad. Like, the numbers don't look that bad. The box score doesn't tell you how bad. Yeah, they were bad.
Yeah, I mean, Tillman had a nice
meaningless yardage.
Tillman had a couple nice plays. Jerry Judy, I thought, had a couple nice plays as well. But it's slim pickings to try to find people that, we bring Nathan on, and I'm very aware that he, his paycheck has a Browns logo in the top right corner, and I'm not going to try to put him in a bad spot or anything.
Works for the Browns?
Yeah, he works for the Browns. Did you know that?
Did you hear about this?
Did you see about this? He works for the Browns. And so I try to make sure that we don't jam him up or put him in a bad spot, and the best I could do is, hey, that's Cedric Tillman. How about him yesterday? Great.
I mean, well, okay, but to get back to Jameis, I think it's important to note, like, for anybody who might actually be thinking, what do we need in DTR? Maybe let's go see that. No, because I just think, like, I'll be honest with you. I don't think any quarterback is sitting in front of that. And again, Jameis was bad. But this is a very similar conversation to what we were having about Deshaun. Half of the time when he was healthy enough to play was, well, yeah, he wasn't good, but, like, look at the context around him. Like, it was a total failure offensively.
So it sounds like you're not putting that much on Jameis for yesterday.
No. The loss is on him, but it's not solely on him.
What, are you like a pie chart, or what are we doing here?
Oh, yeah. The blame game? Oh, yeah.
You know, a blame chart? Yeah. What, 72% goes to Jameis? Like, what are we doing?
And I'll be honest with you. I thought the only egregious interception, there was an egregious almost non-interception, by the way. Yeah. One that was dropped. Thank you again. We needed that one. Mm-hmm.
The end zone one?
But yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, other than that, like, he threw into a couple tight windows. Like, to me, that's not the worst Jameis you're going to see, is what I'm going to say.
Well, there's a part of me that, like, even with the interceptions being as late as they were in the game, I'm kind of like, well, he had to make something out of nothing. At that point, he was Leroy Jenkins. He's just going to go for it at that point. And I think that's Kevin said as much after the game, essentially.
Yeah.
I can't blame him too much there.
But, like, I just continue to come back to the offensive line. Here's the thing. Like, DeJuan wasn't great yesterday. He was, like, the third biggest problem on the offensive line. That just and again, I don't even know how much that is. Just the Chargers have two future Hall of Famers.
I think what you saw, though, is a lot of people. I noticed after the game, and I noticed even during the game, no one's like, "Hey, bring on DTR."
Yeah,
no one's clamoring for DTR. No one's telling us that we need to have DTR. Jameis still offers up the idea that he can throw a 330-yard game like he did 2 weeks ago and beat Baltimore. And if that's the best that we get, that's the high of the high that we get, I think fans are signing up for that. Yeah, his lows might stink, but DTR doesn't have a 330-yard game beating Baltimore in him.
And I think that's what's going to keep people invested for a while. One, we saw DTR against Cincinnati. He had every chance to win that game, and it didn't happen. Two, I think people are okay. Like, I'll be honest with you guys. If there was a salient young quarterback to go to, we'd be going to him right now. Because through those first two games, you've seen Jameis.
Right.
And we still haven't seen the worst Jameis. Like, I really have to sound that alarm. Like, you're going to say it can't get worse than yesterday.
It can't get that much worse.
Yes. Yeah. He can throw five picks. He can go full Peterman.
Ooh.
He can
Nathan Peterman?
He can go
five
interceptions.
He still threw for 235 yards, by the way, which is something that Deshaun Watson had not done this year. But he had a passer rating
of 50. How much of that was on the last drive?
Yeah. Well, he threw the ball 46 times, Nick.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw the ball an absolute ton.
Yeah.
46 times is ridiculous.
Like, let's not give him credit for 235. If you chuck the ball 46 times,
Oh, no, I'm not.
A good deal came on that last drive.
I'm not. He was bad. I don't know that he can get that much worse. You say that he can. Okay, fine. We'll split hairs on it. Bad is bad. It's just he's a mixed bag, and I think the mixed bag might be something that maybe fans will enjoy seeing as opposed to what DTR is. I think we just know what DTR is.
Yeah. I think we'll get to the... I do think we're going to get to it. You got to find out what you have in DTR.
The idea, though, that if you throw Jameis out there, we beat a Ravens team that was on a 5-game winning streak. Like, you can beat any team in football when Jameis plays great Jameis. And I think that's what fans will have to hang on to.
He's got
the one time a year, the rest of the season, you get great Jameis and everything comes together. That's what people...
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to have to hang on to.
I do think that this is an industry of hope, and at some point...
That's it.
We're going to look at this and go, well, he's throwing for a lot of yards. They're empty calories.
Aren't you happy we started a new show on a day like today?
Not really.
Aren't you thrilled this is the show we get to start this off with?
Could have really gone for a win. Would have been nice.
Yeah, and maybe back-to-back wins and a lot of momentum and positivity and people are feeling back in on the Browns. Instead, we get what I believe to be is the absolute lowest point of this Browns season right now.
But I'm going to make a prediction because you're right. This is the lowest point. Somehow, because you spiked up.
Yeah, we did.
Now this is the sugar crash.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Like, that's where you are. And because of that, I'm going to make a prediction. At some point in the next four games, you're going to call for DTR.
No chance.
I'm not saying you specifically.
No. Say me. Say put it on me. No chance I will call for
Mr.
DTR.
Mr. Flip-Flop. No, I'm kidding. Mr.
No
I want to see hope. Better? Mr. Jonathan Pander? Did we go
no,
there?
No, I thought... what was it? Peterlin Pander? I thought, or the Pander Peterlin? What was that?
Pander Peterlin. That's what it was.
I think that's what it was.
Panda Peterlin. Panda Peterlin.
Jonathan Pander sounded like a 1919 baseball player.
It didn't sound great.
I might have played for the White Sox or the White Stockings that tried to steal the World Series.
You definitely took some money from a guy named Lefty.
When you say pander, I need people to know out there, all you mean is just like, you know, be excited about something or have belief in something or enjoy something.
And then you're like,
oh, he's a panderer. It's like, oh, Cavs look great at 8-0. You panderer. Having fun watching Donovan Mitchell play basketball. What a pander bear.
This is an all-time polisher
from
you.
You can find it at the zoo or something, a pander bear.
You trying to turn your absolute homerific.
You know what you're doing. You're going to turn me into somebody that's just pessimistic, doesn't like anything, craps on everything, so I don't get called a pander bear.
Wait. So it's all my fault because you went too far in on the Ravens win?
Fortunately, I can't be broke that easily, Nick. I'm going to enjoy the things that I enjoy. I'm going to like the things that I like, and you can't change my direction on that.
Do not make me do that.
You can't change my direction on that.
Do not challenge me like that.
I need you guys all to know, though, when he says pander bear, all it is, it's a signal to say, oh, Jonathan likes something.
No.
Jonathan's happy with something.
It means Jonathan went way out on a limb on the embarrassing...
No limb for me.
No limb?
No, not at all. There was logic and reason attached to it.
Play the open.
Last year with Joe Flacco. There was reason to think it would happen again.
Play it again.
For 1 week, it did.
You need this.
I'm not doing the rest, two or three more games. I'm putting a lot into yesterday. And I absolutely love what I saw yesterday, and I do think it was a bigger deal than maybe some people are making it out to be.
But too many things went right for that to be a flash in the pan and a one-off.
You've been here for a decade. You have to know. You can't just say, well, too many things went right. Yes, that's when you should be most cynical about it.
All I have is a mountain of evidence that Stefanski knows what he's doing with other quarterbacks. It's so obvious what happened here. And sometimes when presented with the obvious, you got to accept it.
Mm.
It sounds like a guy having a good time enjoying a team that he thought was maybe something.
That sounds like somebody huffing
glue. Just to be let down.
Yeah.
Huffing glue.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Like, that sounds like somebody on an inhalant, not thinking logically about the team.
I want to drive myself to the methadone clinic after hearing that, okay? But that was me having some excitement. Like, I was into it. Man,
Jonathan,
I was so into it.
Jonathan, I'm your friend. I've been your friend since the beginning. I'm here to tell you. In the next 4 weeks, you will call DTR.
There's zero chance. Mark my words. Mark the spot that we do this with the audio right now. Mark, there's no chance I'm calling for DTR.
We are. So by the Chiefs game,
Jake's tiny and injured often.
Man, I cannot wait now.
What?
I honestly cannot wait for you to just go, you know what? I'm sorry. I think I've seen enough of Jameis. There's time for DTR.
There's a chance I call for Bailey Zappi before I ever call for DTR.
You know what, then? I'm amending this to at some point in the next 4 weeks, you're calling for Bailey Zappi or DTR.
I took so much offense to the DTR side of this because you guys know how I feel about DTR. He's a preseason quarterback.
I'm on the record.
He's a preseason quarterback.
I've been on the record about Ohio State. Got a little bit more I was right for y'all.
I like when you match what I'm saying with my own voice, by the way. That's fun.
That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.